On this episode of Secrets of Staffing Success, we're going to talk about what it's like to break out on your own and why it's okay to turn down business.
Welcome to Secrets of Staffing Success from Haley Marketing. Candid conversations with innovators and thought leaders in the staffing and recruiting industries. Your host for Secrets of Staffing Success is Todd Lewandowski, Director of Content Marketing with 15 years experience in marketing for the staffing industry. You can follow the show on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, and the podcast app on your Apple device. And now, here's Todd.
Our guest this week on Secrets of Staffing Success is the founder and president of PMO Partners. He is Brian Abrams. Brian, thanks so much for joining us this week.
Thank you so much, Todd, for having us on. It's really great to be here today.
Well, as we like to do on this show, why don't we start off by having you give us your 60-second elevator pitch on PMO Partners.
Absolutely. I'm happy to. So PMO Partners is a niche staffing firm. What we do is we specialize in placing IT project managers, and we work with clients really across the country on providing them with IT project managers on both a contract basis and a permanent basis. I've been in the recruiting field for about 18 years, and recruiting project managers has always been something that I've been passionate about, something I've done well, and I've turned that into a niche staffing firm. So companies come to me when they need project management experts.
Yeah, and part of the reason why I wanted to have you on was because you have kind of an interesting story and an interesting way that you've kind of gotten to where you are right now. You were fairly established in the recruiting industry and working for, you know, a bigger company, and then decided to go out on your own. So I'm curious initially, you know, what was people's reaction when you told them that you were going to go solo?
Yeah, that's a great question, Todd. So, you know, a lot of people were supportive. Some people didn't get it. Some people thought it might be a bad idea. I got a wide variety of reactions. And when I look back on that, it's actually, you know, kind of understandable. You know, this business is tough, and it's tough enough when you're working for an established agency, never mind on your own. But in, you know, the entrepreneurial world isn't for everybody either. Not everyone is meant to go out on your own. However, I felt it was the right time for myself. I was motivated to do it. I had the right skill set, the right attitude, and I knew I was going to be successful. And I think that's one of the important things to remember when you want to go out on your own, is that, you know, you got to be your own biggest cheerleader. You got to be the one that's going to say, I'm going to do this, and also realize that, you know, it might not be for other people. You know, this is what you chose, and I'm unbelievably happy about the path that I chose.
What have been some of the biggest differences between being a solo recruiter and working for a bigger firm?
Sure. So when you're on your own, you kind of have to scrap for resources. you have to find ways to get things for free or for cheap. When you work for a bigger firm, you have a lot of resources. You have a lot of things that are just given to you. You have the right type of support. So when you're out on your own, it's really important to be scrappy and get the things you need, especially while you're building your company. It's really important because you don't really have money coming in. And, you know, when you're out on your own, you don't have that person sitting next to you that you could talk to about things.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, when you are out on your own, it's still important to maintain the relationship that you've had, both with candidates and colleagues, and you know, keep up to date on things that are going on out there. Because when you're when you're on your own, you really are kind of out on an island. So I feel like I say that a lot to folks that, you know, I'm out on an island here. You know, I'm in a bubble.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, one of the things that you should do is make it a point to keep in touch with the right folks. For example, very early on in my company's history, I formed a board of advisors, people that I knew well, people who knew me and how I work and my philosophies on things. And I
Brian, you there?
Sorry, Todd.
Oh, that's okay.
Did you miss me there?
Yep. We just cut off the last part of that question. Yep.
Sure. Talk to me about things that are going on the industry that I might be missing because I'm so head down.
Right. Right. You know, I know you've built this into a pretty big success. You've recently crossed over that $1 million revenue mark. But I have to imagine in those early days of going solo that, you know, you kind of had a lot of trepidation and thoughts of, oh boy, did I make the right decision here? But I'm curious, when did you have that aha moment when you knew, okay, this is going to work out and this is going to be successful?
I'd say that moment for me came about 4 months into the company. I have to admit, that first 3-4 months, things were a little slow, and I was waiting. I shouldn't say waiting, but I was expecting, you know, big things to happen, and it just hadn't quite happened yet. But around like the 4 month mark, I landed a really big client, and I would say that's the time when I knew I made it. I got a client that gave me a lot of recs at once, and I filled them all, and that was really the spark plug for the company. That's when I knew, okay, I really have something here, and the product I'm trying to sell is something that people want.
What advice would you give to other people who may be in your situation, you know, not just a recruiter looking to go out on their own, but really any kind of startup?
Yeah. So one of the things that was important to me was early planning. I actually started planning what I wanted my company to look like about 12 months in advance, actually. I set up my CRM. I got my LLC in place. I, you know, got the lawyers in place. I got paperwork in place. I did all of this in advance. In addition, I did a lot of research. Research on LinkedIn, research on Google, on what kind of clients I wanted to attack, accumulating names. For me, personally, that was really important in the building of this company, is getting all the right things in place before I open doors. And I think that actually contributed a lot to the success, and I still feel the impact from that now, almost 5 years later. The other piece of advice I would give to people wanting to go out on their own, and I've talked to a lot of people that have gone out on their own about this, is you really need the support of the people closest to you. That goes back to what I was saying earlier about not everyone's going to understand. you really need your family to support and understand what it is that you're trying to accomplish. And you need to explain it. Even if you have to write it down on paper, you have to, which you should do actually, but you have to explain what you're trying to do, what your goals are. You need to get that buy-in from your significant others, because naturally they're going to have an impact on it as well.
Yeah. And I like that first part that you said too about the initial planning that you did before you even opened your doors. I you know, we get calls from a lot of startups and saying, you know, well, we've been open for a couple months now. Now we feel like we need a website. well, that's probably something you should have done before you opened your doors, really. You know, so I love that idea of, you know, you really spent a year before you made this big decision doing the research, doing the planning, and setting your goals for it. And like you said, it's still paying off today.
Absolutely. That the website, for example, was built a full 3 months before I even opened doors. Mm-hmm. I really think it's key. Because if you have everything in place before you start, then on day one, you're hitting the road. You're
right.
Running. You know,
right.
Like you're off to a good start already. Mm-hmm. If you decide one day, hey, I want to start a company, then you're in the planning phase for a year before things really start coding for you.
Yeah. A lot of times, and we see this more in the staffing industry than the recruiting industry, but you get a lot of firms who want to be everything to everyone. They won't turn down any positions, but you have that very specific niche of IT, not just IT, but IT project managers. What's been the biggest challenge to being so niche focused?
Well, when you're niche focused, you really need to understand how you're going to go about marketing that, I think. You have to figure out who is really going to be the buyer and how to get the message out to them. And really, there's numerous ways. What I did is I researched user groups. So I'm very involved in the Central Mass PMI, the Mass Bay PMI. Recently, I've gotten involved in the Southern New England PMI. I'm looking into other PMI groups. So the project management user groups have been really important in relationship building and marketing, getting the company name out there. So, you know, for any company starting up, especially a niche one, you need to figure out where do the people that you are marketing to hang out, both offline and online. Mm-hmm. I would say in the beginning, that was probably the biggest struggle for me. And I know because I've lived it. When you're starting up, you just want to sell. You want
to get
out there. You want to sell. You want to make that first placement. You want to feel good about it. And marketing is often the thing that falls by the wayside.
Sure.
But the marketing and getting your name out there is extremely important. And if you don't do that, eventually you're going to start playing catch up.
Mm. Yeah. And I wanted to talk about a little bit about that later on, but let's jump into that now. And how important has social media specifically been to your growth?
Social media has been extremely important. I started, when I was planning the company, I reached out to, as many PMO leaders on LinkedIn as I could. I set up a Twitter. I set up a LinkedIn page for my company. I started a Facebook, although it wasn't really heavily utilized at the time. But I think that being on LinkedIn, responding to people's posts, getting your name out there, it is extremely important. Especially in this age where attention is so important. Social media is where people go daily. You know, recruiters especially live on it. And likely your targets, your clients are going to live on it as well.
Yeah. You were recently profiled in Forbes magazine, which is a big deal, and I'm sure has helped you out quite a bit. But there was one thing when I was reading through that profile that really stood out to me, and that was you had mentioned turning down work that wasn't a good fit. And I think that's something that a lot of staffing and recruiting firms are very reluctant to do. You know, kind of a two-part question here is what made a client not a good fit for you, and how has that strategy paid off?
Yeah, so you're right, and I personally can understand the hesitancy, the desire to take on everything you can get when you start, because you have to get that revenue in. You have to prove to yourself that this was a good idea. I primarily turned down business in the beginning that I thought was not going to be a good use of time. So, because I'm so niche focused, I knew ultimately things were going to pay off by staying in that niche and finding clients that I knew would be buyers, and turning down the business, that I wasn't going to do. One, I didn't want to waste my time on it. You know, everyone's time is important. As a solo business owner, your time is extremely important. And if you spend time working on things that aren't going to work really in the short term, in the long term, you have to turn it down. Hmm. You have to find the strength to turn it down. Because in the long run, focusing on the stuff and trying to build relationships with hiring managers that you're focused on is going to pay off the most. And the other part is I didn't want to work on things that weren't my specialty. I'm not going to find Hadoop developers for my clients. I wouldn't be good finding Unix systems admins for my clients. That's just not what I'm good at. So why am I going to work on something and potentially not succeed? So what I just did is I spent my time on something that that I was unsuccessful with, and I showed the client that I was, you know, not successful in helping them.
Yeah.
So it's a double fail. What I want to do is work on the things I know I'm going to be successful at and spend my time working with clients, working on jobs that I know that is going to bring value to them.
Mm. Yeah, and I think that's a hard thing for some recruiters or owners to kind of face up to and say, you know what, I'm just not good enough at, you know, X position or X industry. Let me focus on something like that. I think that's a really, really hard thing for a lot of people to come to grips with.
I understand it. You know, I understand how, you know, you're eager in the beginning to make that first placement, make it a couple placements, get off the ground. I just felt for me, I chose this niche and I don't want to, you know, show others that, oh yeah, I was just kidding. Here I am, I'm PMO Partners. Oh yeah, but yeah, I'll also fill your Linux systems admin.
Yeah.
Like, no, it's really not what I do. My focus and my specialty is IT project management, and that's really where I'm going to be most effective. Yeah.
We mentioned earlier you've crossed that $1 million in annual revenue threshold there. Can you think back to, was there one factor, one decision that you really look at and go, that's what got us to that point?
Absolutely. I think one of the most important decisions I made early on in the company was bringing on an operations manager to do the things that I frankly was not good at and didn't want to focus my time on. So earlier we were talking about one of the biggest differences between being a solo recruiter and working for a large company. Well, guess what? When you're solo and you are the company, you're spending a lot of time working on things that aren't related to the production. You're doing paperwork. You're doing all this back end stuff that you probably didn't even think about when you were in the big staffing world.
Right.
You're probably spending only 50% of your time doing sales and recruiting. Okay. Mm-hmm. And there's just a lot of things. Finance related, operations related that I knew I wasn't going to be good at and I was really going to be bogged down.
Yeah.
So I hired an operations manager who was fantastic and She helped bring a lot of structure to the company. She organized a lot of paperwork. She got HR things in place. She got a SharePoint portal set up for me. And she's my liaison to virtually everything. So I'd say the biggest factor in my accelerated success was hiring someone to do the things that I didn't want to put time into, that I knew I wasn't going to be good at. And that freed me up to do the things that I knew needed to be done for the company. And it brought a level of quality to the other things that I knew I wasn't going to be great at myself.
Yeah. You know, I'm assuming that many of your potential candidates are not actively looking for jobs right now. They're passive job seekers. So what's your best process or best tactic to convince them that, okay, it's time to switch jobs now?
Sure. I would say that, you know, you need to find those folks that are really ready for that next step in their career, those folks that that are ready to really take off and flourish in their career. A lot of my clients come to me for mid to senior level project managers, not necessarily director type folks. So I really like to explain to my candidates the entire package of what they're getting, not just, you know, the salary. That salary is just part of it. I like to talk about benefits. I like to talk about the positives of working for this particular client, what this next step is going to do for their career. It's a hard thing to try to convince candidates to leave the job that they're in. I try to meet them halfway. If this is someone that's actually looking to make that next step in their career, then I'm happy to meet them there and help bring them the next way. So it's not so much about convincing them. They have to be at least partially convinced that the time's right for them.
Why do you think it's important for small firms like yours, either staffing or recruiting firms, to focus on both the contract and the permanent staffing? Because I think, you get some people who only want to focus on one or the other, but why do you think it's important to do both?
Yeah, absolutely. I have found it's really been beneficial for us to focus on both contract and perm, because that has really accelerated, the contract piece has really accelerated the growth of the company from a revenue standpoint. If you're just placing permanent hires, that's great, but all those placements just go right to the bottom line. If your goal is to really grow as a company and not stay a solo entrepreneur, you're going to have to increase revenue. Okay. So you're going to have to show size, right, to your company. So that's how I got to over $1 million in revenue, is by placing in contract roles, high level project managers that had high bill rates. That's what really has driven it up. And if your goal as a solo company owner is to grow the company and perhaps sell it someday, become a target to someone else, you're going to have to show that size. No one out there is going to buy $200,000 company. No one out there is going to buy $1 million company. You have to be a $10 million or $20 million company to even be considered by other companies as an attractive target. So what I'm talking about here, Todd, is it's important to do both permanent and contract if you have desires of growing your company to the point that it may be an attractive target to others.
All right, before we let you go, time for our rapid fire questions. Five quick questions to learn more about Brian Abrams, the man. And we'll start with, if you weren't in staffing, what would you be doing?
Oh, wow. If I wasn't in staffing, I'd probably be in the music business somehow. Hmm. I'm not quite sure doing what, but I'm very passionate about music, and I absolutely would either be like a writer about music or an A&R or something like that.
Cool. The book or blog or podcast or individual that you look to for inspiration?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked this, because there's definitely one above all others, and that's Gary Vaynerchuk. I read Gary. I listen to his podcast. I watch his videos daily. And he's a huge source of inspiration for me. I like his attitude. I'm not scared off by his language. And I just, what he says really resonates with me. So, and there's many others, of course, but definitely Gary Vaynerchuk.
Yeah, we have a lot of Gary V fans in our office. I know that. Biggest career regret?
I said my biggest career regret is not going out on my own sooner.
Proudest moment of your career?
You know, I'd say the proudest moment of my career is right at this very moment. You know, I am now growing the team. Starting January 1st, we'll be up to 4 people on the PMO Partners team, and that makes me extremely proud. I'm glad that, you know, I can share my passion for staffing with a team, and have a group now under me of folks that like to succeed. And it's just that brings me a lot of joy. And, you know, I'd say at this very moment, I'm at my proudest.
All right, final question. Finish this sentence. In 5 years, the recruiting and staffing industry will?
Be thriving. Be thriving. I don't see it going away. You know, there's a lot of prognosticators out there saying that computers will be, you know, taking over staffing firms, taking over HR groups. I don't believe it at all. I think the folks that are responsible for finding great talent are still going to be around. And, you know, I don't see staffing firms going anywhere. Actually, just, you know, utilizing the technologies out there to get better.
He's Brian Abrams, founder, president of PMO Partners. You can find out more about them at PMOPART.com. Brian, I can't thank you enough for sharing all of your secrets of staffing success with us today, and continued success in 2019 to you and everybody at PMO Partners.
Thank you so much, Todd. It's been a lot of fun.
My thanks to Brian Abrams from PMO. This is usually the point in the show where I kind of give you my recap and takeaways from this week's episode. But today we're going to do something a little bit different, because we have a very exciting announcement, an addition to our Secrets of Staffing Success lineup. I'm joined here by Brad Biley and Matt Lozar, who are going to be hosting a brand new podcast called Insights. Gentlemen, thanks for joining me this week. Very exciting for your new podcast. What I want to do first, before we get into what's going to be on the podcast, is learn a little bit more about you. Let our listeners know a little bit more about you. So, Brad, let's start with you.
Thanks, Todd. I've been with Haley Marketing Group for going on 6 years now as a social media marketing advisor, more recently overseeing the growth and development of our Social Pro product. And really, my core responsibilities are to drive applications and job orders for the clients we work for and work with in different various formats through social media, digital marketing, and email marketing.
Awesome. And Matt, tell us about yourself.
I've just started my fifth year here at the Haley Marketing Group, and have really started to focus recently on recruitment marketing. And we define that as career sites and job distribution, social recruiting, and employer branding. And also, I've had a lot of experience in the pay-per-click area with, you know, online advertising with Facebook and Google, and really focusing on on those smart business goals for our clients and driving the ROI with making the best decisions through data.
And I know you guys have, as you mentioned, a ton of experience, and I know you guys are excited to share this with our listeners. So tell us a little bit about what Insights is going to entail.
Insights is going to be a bi-weekly podcast focused around social recruiting, digital marketing, and employer branding. Matt and myself are going to be talking about the tools and the tactics that we've seen work really well for the clients that we work with, so that you as a listener could then take those tactics, take those tips, and deploy them for your own staffing and recruiting firm.
Yeah, and that's what I like about this new show, is it's going to be a lot of take-home value for our listeners. So with the interviews, we're still going to keep doing Secrets of Staffing Success interviews. You know, it's a lot of experiential conversations and what has made some of our clients really great and who are the very top thinkers and innovators in staffing. But this is going to be a lot of really great take-home advice. So first episode is going to be January 16th. So you guys are going to be on the off weeks that Secrets of Staffing Success is not on. And the nice thing for our listeners is they don't have to subscribe to another podcast. This is all going to be part of Secrets of Staffing Success. So if you're already subscribed, which you should be, you can just continue that and you'll be getting insights. So when you look at your feed of all the episodes, it'll say either Interview, which will be my show, Secrets of Staffing Success, or Insights, which will be with Brad and Matt. So this is going to be exciting. Format-wise, what can listeners expect?
We're going to break down the show into three main segments. The first is going to be Content Blueprint, where Matt and I are going to talk about content marketing in 2019. We're going to look back at 2018, what worked really well for the staffing firms that we've seen and monitored throughout the industry. But really, we're going to be talking about content in the form of written, video, audio, everything that staffing firms should be doing to generate more applications and job orders. Segment two is going to be called Social Reach, which is going to be all about social recruiting, how you can reach more active and passive candidates through social media. And then the last segment is called Seen and Heard. And candidly, it's going to be a really interesting tip or best practice that Matt and I have seen or heard from the week prior. So it's going to be something through, whether it's through staffing industry analysts, maybe it's another marketing blog, but something that we've seen that can add value to the listeners here.
So that's Insights, premiere episode January 16th. If you're already subscribed, congratulations. You will get Insights sent directly to your device. And of course, you can subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify. If you have the podcast app on your Apple device, you can subscribe there. All of our past episodes of both Secrets of Staffing Success and now Insights will be at HaleyMarketing.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at Staffing Podcast. Well, we'll be sure to include all of the information about Insights there as well. Gentlemen, thanks so much for joining me, and really looking forward to this new podcast, Insights from Haley Marketing.
We're excited to get going, Todd. Thanks for all of your advice through our training time, and we're excited to bring those insights on recruiting and the social and content space to the staffing industry.
Excellent. That'll do it for us this week. We look forward to talking to you next time on Secrets of Staffing Success.